Today, as we open God's Word to hear and respond to a message from His Word, today is going to be one big introduction. One big introduction to where God will be taking us over these next several weeks, especially in the month of August. Just a heads up, this is but an introduction and an overview of commands given to us in the New Testament. Because there are commands throughout the New Testament teaching us how to live out fully a life of faith. And every single one of these commands have a unique thing in common, that they begin with a certain set of words, or have a certain set of words in them, those words being one and another. And even though today will just be an introduction to these words and the importance of these words, there will be a great challenge. A challenge that we all face as believers of Jesus each and every day to truly walk in a manner worthy of our calling with one another. Because to walk in such a manner worthy of our calling, we must understand a very clear and crucial reality. We do this together with one another as a body, as the church, as God's family. We walk together and are not alone. And this is what God intended for us, His church, His family, because God didn't call an individual. He called forth a church. He called forth a community. And in this, we are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling in community with one another. And in this, there are lifestyles, habits, expectations we are called out of this world into, things we are called to adopt and take on as we walk in faith in the wonderful new identity given to us by God Himself as His children. And in this, God hasn't left us in the dark. He has not left us in the dark. He has shown us the way. He literally has spelled out for us the way to do just this, to walk in proper relationship. In fact, one of the ultimate purposes of this entire book, this Word of God that we've been given, is to teach us how to live out proper relationship. In particular, a proper relationship with God. And in having a proper relationship with God, being able to properly relate with ourselves. Because it's in relating to ourselves properly through our relationship with God, we can then relate to others. For Jesus says Himself when He's asked what the greatest commandment is in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets." Love God. Love yourself. Love the other. Living in harmony with God. To be living in harmony with ourselves, to be living in harmony with others. You see, one flows into the next, and you can't have one without the other. You have to first love God if you're ever going to find true self-love. And you can't really love others until you can learn to love yourself. And that's something that this shows us. Each of these flowing into the next in a direct indication of how the former thing is. If you're struggling with love for yourself, ask, how's your relationship with Christ? Because He's the one that teaches us to love ourselves because of the love He has for us. And in that, we share that love with others because we recognize that love. And if God loves me, if God was willing to go to the cross and die for me, if God was willing to save me, I must not be as big of a mistake as I thought I was. That must mean I'm pretty important and special to him. And you know what? He didn't just do it for me. He did it for others too. They must be pretty important. They must be pretty special as well too. And to truly live out our call and command given to us in the New Testament nearly five times, to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, to live in a manner worthy of the gospel, which once again would be the summation of the law and prophets, to live properly relationally with God, with ourselves, and with others. Something that many of us know from our history here at the Church of God of Exeter as a Jesus-shaped life, up, in, and out. In this, God has once again not left anything hidden from us to do just this. He has revealed himself to us, and in this has shown us how to live in a proper relationship with him, ourselves, and others, especially with others. Because isn't that the hard piece? To live in love for the other. I can almost see the mental conversation in many going like this. Love God? Okay, I can do that. You know, he's awesome. He's great. You know, he made everything. You know, and he loves me. I can love him. And love myself? Now, that's pretty darn easy right there. But I need to be careful to not fall into vainglory. To almost get into this self-adulation. But yeah, I can love myself. Oh, you want me to love them too? Just like you love me? Isn't that the tripping point? You want me to forgive them, bear with them, be graceful and merciful to them, just like you are with me? This is our calling as God's children, as God's family. For be not mistaken, when you came to know Jesus, not only were you born again, made anew, and given a new precious identity, the identity you were born for, the born with before sin, as a child of God, you were also given a new familial identity. For you have been brought into the household of God. You have been brought into his family, a wonderful new identity with a wonderful new family. You are brought into a brand new family as sons and daughters of God, God's family. This is why we call ourselves here at Church of God of Exeter a family of families. Because that's what we are. We all come from different walks and different places in life. But we are here together as brothers and sisters in Christ, part of God's family. And it is a wonderful family to be a part of through the wonderful salvation he has given us, to adopt us in, graft us in, and have us become part of his household. As Ephesians 2:19 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." In Christ and through Christ, we are part of the household of God, God's family, which is language that's used throughout the Bible, not just the New Testament. In fact, when the people of Israel were called the people of God, that God's chosen people, there was a family indication in that they were part of God's family. They were part of him. He was part of them. The very end of the book in Revelation, what is it that God says? "And they will be my people, and I will be their God." That he would be with us forever in eternity. Family is an important thing in the Bible. And it's something that we're taught throughout, that when we come to follow Jesus, we are called out of a former existence into a new. This is something that Jesus himself makes clear when he talks about his own family. It says in Matthew 12:46-50, "While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, 'Who is my mother and who is my brother?' 'Who are my brothers?' And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus here giving us a whole new definition, a whole new understanding of what family is. And it isn't genetics. It is so much more than genetics. Rather, it is the posture of our heart towards God, towards ourselves, and towards others. For it is the will of the Father that we would live in a proper relationship, a righteous relationship. And that's a big word we throw around a lot, righteous. But what does righteous mean? It just simply means right. And in particular, when it comes to God, living in a right relationship. And that is the will of the Father, that we would have a right relationship with Him, ourselves, and others. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. We are brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, grandparents to one another in Christ. For we are the family of God. And to steal the lyrics from the famous 1970s band Sister Sledge, what kind of name is that? Sister Sledge, but that was their name. All of the people around us that say, can they be that close? Just let me state for the record, we're giving love in a family dose. Because we are family. Nailed it. Okay, that was a bad idea. Sorry about that. I promise there may be no more solo singing today. Maybe. But I digress. The point being that we indeed are the family of God through Christ's anointing sacrifice on the cross, His atoning sacrifice. As the Bible teaches us, we were once enemies of God in our sins, separated by a barrier of hostility. But in Christ, as our passage we just read moments ago from Ephesians teaches us, He's bridged the gap. And we're no longer enemies, but we are children, sons and daughters, and members of the household of God. Why else would Jesus teach us to address God as Father? When we asked Him, how should we pray? We indeed are family. And with this, we must understand something in being family and being in a proper relationship with God. That there are rules of the house. There's certain family ethoses that we must live in and live out. There are rules to life. You know, because every family has rules to life. Every family has a family ethos. Because every family does certain things certain ways. Even businesses, organizations, whatever you want to call it, they have rules to life. They have ethoses. They have those things that are considered customs or characteristics of them, a defining trait. And a rule of life is simply that. An ethos is simply that. And in a rule of life, we also find a schedule of set practices, a relational rhythm that we live out as individuals and with one another day to day. Every family has them. God's family has them. They dictate to us right and wrong. They help us navigate through the complexity of this life together. They set our core values and purposes. They set our core values and purposes. And this is critical because, you know, I'm sure for those who have had children, you had those family rules. If you can remember when you were a child, you had household and family rules, and there were these family ethoses that your parents and your grandparents wanted to teach you and pass on to generation to generation. I know for our family, we want to pass on the faith first and foremost above everything else. We want to pass on the faith to our children. But let's think about our family of origin, our biological earthly family, these families that you were in, they had rules of life. They had ethoses. What were they? Can you think of some? Think of some of these things. If you think about it for a little bit, I'm sure you'll think about certain rules that you had in your household. We have many rules in our household, right, Lucas? Yeah. Especially around dinner time. You know, I think about the rules of life and the ethoses we hold just for meal times. One of the things we want to try to do each and every day is have a meal together at a table as a family. We want to break bread together and have that time together. And we also want to pray before every meal, before the fork goes into one of the kids' mouths, mostly Obadiah. There is many a lamentations in our home. It's like, oh, someone started eating, we haven't prayed yet. We've learned that if you serve after you pray, it works a lot better. But the point is, we have all these rules of life, these ethoses, because once again, we want to set certain values in our family. God is a value in our family. Faithful living is a value in our family. So that's why we do certain things. Being together is a value in our family. So we do that as much as we possibly can. We also expect conversations to follow Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Which is another thing we're constantly in process and continually working on. The point being, we all have rules in our life. Rules of life that we abide by in our houses, in our homes. When we were kids, we had rules. When we became grown adults, we had rules. Whether they were unspoken or spoken, whether they were written or unwritten, even if everyone knew about them, they were there. There was a certain pattern of life that you as a family would follow. The same is true for God's family. The same is true for his family, as he has given us rules to life and ethoses to follow, which we must seek to do, because not only will we find our value and purpose in these things, we find our identity in these things. Others see our identity in these things. In how we choose to conduct and live out our lives, others see and will know not only who you are, but whose you are. As John 13:35 says very plainly, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And there's one of those one another statements that we're going to be talking about here for the next several weeks. God makes it clear that not only will people know who you are, they'll know whose you are by how you choose to live. When you live out your family identity in your homes, there might be certain things that are characteristic to your family, and people will know, oh, that kid must be a Sperry. That kid must be a Bjarke. You know, he does that. That kid's definitely a Zoll. You know, it's like we have these things that people are like, they identify us by the things we do, by the way we live. The same is true with the Lord. People will identify us as part of God's family by how we live, by what we do, the patterns of life we follow. They directly correlate with who we are and whose we are. They directly correlate with our identity. And just like our earthly biological family, God's family has rules to life. God's family has ethoses. And it all is to serve the purpose that we would live in a proper relationship with him, with ourselves, and with each other. And in this, we would live out the wonderful life that he has called us to, that we would walk in a manner worthy of our calling, that we would live out John 10:10, what Jesus says he came to bring, where he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Right here, right now, life as it was intended. Not only do these things help us value the right things, find purpose in a place, give us an identity in Christ, they also help us truly live out the life that he intended us to live with him, with ourselves, and with each other. Bringing us to the point that all this talk has been about today. In knowing the reality that we have been given a new identity in Christ, in this being we have not only been given a personal identity, but a familial identity, truly becoming children of God and members of the household of God, we have also in this been brought into a brand new set of rules of life, a brand new way of living, and we've been given a new family ethos. We are not only expected to follow, but we're commanded to follow, as it is who we are supposed to be as followers of Jesus and children of God. And as I said much earlier in this morning's message, God hasn't left us in the dark on how to do this. He's spelled it out for us. He's given us his personal revelation to teach us how to do just this, to have that proper relationship with himself, with ourselves, and with each other. And in particular, what we're going to be focusing on is how we relate to one another. One another, a very interesting set of words that is one word in Greek. It's allelon, allelon. And what it means is one another. It's a word that's used over 100 times in the New Testament alone in Greek. It is a word that's coupled with a command approximately 59 times. Things to do for each other, how to relate, how to not relate to one another. These are also parts of the rules of life and those family ethos as we've been talking about, that we've been called to as followers of Jesus, that all contain this word, allelon. However, these rules of life, these family ethoses, truly show us how it is God has called us to be with one another. For we are called to be with one another. Some of them are rather the same. In fact, over a third of these commands using this word are directly regarding how we live in unity with one another. Another third of these commands are directly related to how we are to walk in love with one another. About a sixth of the commands deals with how we need to be humble before one another, how we need to serve one another, how we need to truly sacrifice to one another. Consider others more significant than yourselves, Paul says. Four, and there's four of them, directly relate to kissing. And Frankie, I just want to, there you are. I want you to know they're not sloppy, they're not wet, and they're not unforeseen. Sorry. But four of the commands deal with kissing. That will be a fun talk. They are there, and there is context that's very important to understanding them. Context, even cultural context of the particular time they were written. The point is, these indeed are the rules of life, the family ethos for the family of God. They are there, and we are expected to walk in them, to live in them, but have we really paid much attention to them? And that's the big question for us today. Have we paid much attention to them, or are they just a passing verse on a page? I want to challenge you. I want to implore you today, when you're reading through the New Testament, you're going to bound to stumble across this quite a few times, because once again, it's there. 59 commands are there within the New Testament that all deal with one another. 59 commands. So when you see it, don't just go on. Stop. Reread it. Look at its context, because there is no text without a context. What comes before, what comes after. Take time to dig into that and ask, what is it that God's word's truly teaching you to do? Not just for you, but for the other? What is it that God is commanding of us to do? What is the rule of life that he's trying to bestow upon us, pass on to us? What is the value he's trying to instill in us so that we can walk in the proper purposes of this life and live out the new identity he has given us as members of God's household? Read it. Reread it, write about it, look at its context, memorize it, but more importantly, live it. There's a famous quote from the late Vernon Manning, and it ever reigns true in our culture today. He said, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, but walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle." That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. They will know you are my disciples, Jesus says. Jesus says they will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. They will know you are his disciples by how you live out the rules of life that God has in his family. They will know who you are and whose you are by walking in this wonderful, beautiful new family ethos that he's given us as children of God. And with this being said, this is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And as we go on from this place, and as we go into a time of responding and reflecting, let us do just that as our worship team comes forward today to lead us in a time to do that, asking ourselves, how are we doing with this new rule of life that Christ has given us? How are we doing at living out this new family ethos, bringing on that characteristic that God would have us bring on? How are we doing? Have we paid much mind to